The 528th edition of the MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Head on over to Cut.com, that's K-U-T-T.com, and use promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Play their fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100 times your entry in NBA, NHL, college basketball, and more. Sign up today using promo code SGPN to get a 100% deposit match. We're also brought to you by SGPN's subscribers-only March Madness Bankroll Challenge. Free to enter and up to $2,000 in prizes. Enter today at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/madness. And finally, we're brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com and use promo code SGPN to get 50% off your first month. And start making smarter bets today.
Howdy ho, degenerinos. Welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. Episode 528 is going out to one of our friends in the YouTube, Iron Faya. Not only is it a fun name to say, Faya, but he thanked us for ripping off our regional episodes. So if you haven't watched or listened already, we got LFA and Octagon that we dropped for you on Monday and Tuesday. And that's where Gumby really makes the big money. He does UFC because, you know, you casuals want the UFC, but the real money is made on the regional scene. This card could be a regional card, but no, it's a bit better than the regional card. It's got a former champ in the main event. So, but we're going to break down UFC Fight Night. Hibas versus Nama Yunus. Yesterday we did the seven prelim fights. Gumby and I disagreed on a couple, so make sure you get in on there and listen. Maybe we have a surprising pick like that. They picked that guy. So make sure you listen to that if you haven't already and watch it.
There's at least one like that.
And make sure you subscribe to our YouTube. We got six fights here. Let's bring in Gumby Vreeland. I think he's talking already, so I think he's ready to get sticky. Are you ready to get sticky with us?
This is another. We're going to say Theo Rylang again in this episode.
Theo, no. We here you got an episode.
I'm pretty sure I'm just going to say Theo Rylang in every single episode until people start subscribing faster to our YouTube. So if you want me to stop saying Theo Rylang, definitely go to the YouTube and subscribe.
What's his nickname, Gumby?
Theo Rylang.
Yeah.
Could it be the Rhino?
Yeah, it would be a good one. It'd be better than the motor. Jungle King.
The Jungle King. Hell yeah.
Not the, just
has
Jungle
he,
King.
Has he fought since he was unceremoniously on Contender Series?
He just had a fight canceled. He was supposed to fight on Ultimate Battlegrounds 18 last week, and he got canceled. Maybe you can have him. We don't really have guests on our show. Maybe you can have him on Top Turtle and find out what's up with this man.
I'll check in on Theo.
We're going to bring him out of obscurity and on here. So yet another Theo Rylang episode is underway. Thoughts on the main card, Gumby? I guess we've already given it thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is.
Is it a one card lineup?
No, I mean, like, you know me. I dislike Cameron Simon quite a bit.
You sure do.
That fight is at least, you know, I always say fight should answer questions. And if I don't feel like I need any answers about what Cameron Simon is at this point, which I kind of in that camp, this answers a ton of questions about whether or not Peyton Talbot is legitimately a prospect like people are hyping him up to be, or if he's Cameron Simon 2.0, or maybe 0.2.
How dare you?
Yeah, maybe he's Kirkland, Cameron Simon.
I was supposed to name an episode that, and I forgot. I was supposed to name it Kirkland Carlston Harris, and I forgot.
Carlston Harris.
Yeah.
No, it's Kirkland Neil Magny. Isn't it Kirkland Neil Magny?
No, Carlston Harris. I said he's...
I thought you said Carlston Harris is Kirkland Neil Magny.
I might have said that. Or anyway, I said Kirkland Jessica Andrade. That for some reason really got you going.
Oh yeah, that was
that one really made you laugh. It was that little gal, the little tank that
Chelsea Nunez.
Yeah. Excuse me.
Okay, that's great.
I burped. I sound like talent on the hockey podcast burping on the mic. Hopefully it wasn't wasn't heard.
I'm not going to edit it out, so it better not. Yeah.
Just so you know, not this episode in particular, but Gumby isn't perfect on ad reads either. Okay, just so all you people know,
I've stumbled on the other one the other day, and I just left it in.
Complained about it before, like I butcher them, but Gumby, he's not perfect either, right? Just so you know. So yeah, people were announcing a while ago that it's Peyton Talbot fight week. So I guess we have some, at least weirdos in the Discord that are pumped for this fight.
We got some Talbots.
Oh, look at you. We do have Sticky Talbot. We do have Sticky Bots, but do we have Talbots too? The Sticky people aren't bots, though. That's like real people typing that, isn't it? Asking us if we want to get Sticky.
I think they're bots.
You think they're Sticky Bots?
Maybe we should DM more of them.
We should. Yeah, I haven't had any spam DMs for a while. So that used to be, hi, how are you? You know, stuff like that. I'm like, okay, where is this headed? No one asks anyone how they are anymore. Where is this headed? It's got to be a trap. All right, so we've got a fight card. It's a fight card. I've already named an episode that. It was a fight card. But this one is going down Saturday. 7 is the prelims. 10 is the main card. So they're going to squish 7 fights in 3 hours, and then they'll drag out the last 6 over 4 hour span. So it's on ESPN. This is on ESPN, Gubby. Remember when that was a thing? UFC took pride in putting their best foot forward when the cards were on the big ESPN. But no, now they're like, it's March Madness. We don't care. We'll give you one fight. So that's fine. We're going to watch it. We're going to make money on it. Correct?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to watch it.
You're going to, of course, Gumby watches tough, for crying out loud. He will definitely watch this. All right. Should we kick things off with a featherweight fight? Whether you like it or not, we're going to. Luis Paulo. Is he one of our Peruvian up-and-comers? He is. He is fighting Fernando Padilla. He is from down in that part of the world as well, isn't he? He's from Mexico. Not quite as far down as Peru from where I am, but still. 3 5-minute rounds, 145 pounds. I shall tell you about Paulo first. You know his nickname, Gumby.
Paulo? No, not off the top of my head.
Corazon de Leon.
Lionheart.
Yes. Do you know whose nickname was that when Corazon de Leon, when he fought in when he wrestled in Mexico in CMLL in his early days before he became a WWF superstar?
Is it Rey Mysterio Jr.?
No, it is Chris Lionheart Jericho.
Oh, Corazon I did actually. I did that. Yes. I did know that before he became the lead singer of Fozzy.
Yes, and I won't go into everything else about him currently, but yes.
Was it Ayulo? I don't follow wrestling anymore. It's not good.
he's been living in Florida for quite a while. It's
okay.
Do I need to say more?
Yep, okay, no, that's fine.
And he supports certain people financially and stuff like that.
He's a guy. Yeah, I gotcha.
He's Florida man. Actually, he's very much Florida man now.
Okay,
looks like one, acts like one. All right, cool. But not Paulo. He's Peruvian man, which is actually a pretty good thing to be nowadays in MMA, even though Peruvian didn't win the title a few weeks back. They still seem to be on the rise.
That he's not Peruvian.
The guy you're there is not. You're right.
No, he's Colombian. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, Colombian. You're right.
Or no, Ecuadorian. Oh man, I even.
Oh yeah,
Ecuadorian. See? He's Ecuadorian.
We're
I covered myself though. You didn't.
Such a scandal. we don't know our South American geography as well as we should. All right, Paulo. I'm going to try to get through his
actually
resume
get through
now.
This
we'll
fight.
Okay. He's 8-1 with 7 knockouts. That's good. That's impressive. Regardless of whatever country he's from, that's impressive. He's never been finished in any fight, so he owes us to be finished, I guess. I don't think I've said that one before. This is his debut. 1-1 contender series. He's won 5 straight fights, 2 straight via TKO. He's not lost since December 2021. Used to fight at lightweight, striking stats, and he's more active landing strikes. Both those are in his favor based off of one fight over Padilla. He outstruck his opponent on contender series by 4.04 strikes per minute. Who did he fight, Gumby? Do you remember that?
Robbie Green.
Were you impressed with Paulo coming off the show before I continue? You were. Okay. He doesn't want to show his hand yet. Plus 140. Padilla, Valiante. Do you know that one? It's Spanish. You should know it. Yes. The Valiant, the Brave. The Brave versus the Lionheart. 15-5, 5 knockouts, 8 submissions. Never been finished in a fight. 1-1 in the UFC, 3-1 over his last 4. He did lose his last fight. He's fight at bantamweight. He's fight at lightweight. 3 inches height, 7 inches of reach. Well, that's catnip to me. Even though I don't track those stats anymore, because reach didn't prove to be beneficial to winning fights. I'm sure it's case by case scenario, but overall it did not move the needle. He's 2 years younger than Paulo. He's got better grappling stats. He's been outstruck in the UFC by 0.3 strikes per minute, minus 165. I think I'm going to differ than you here. I usually start off the main card. I'm taking Padilla. I have a feeling you're not going to take him.
You're right.
He's more well-rounded, obviously way bigger, way better resume. Paulo, not the greatest resume before the contender series. Give me the chalk here because I'm Jeff Chalks after all.
I'm not sure it's a better resume than Paulo. But you know, Paulo beat up
Robbie. I said it better than you though.
If you want to go back and look at what Fernando Padilla did before he made it to the UFC, he fought Nate Richardson to a split decision because anybody he doesn't knock out, he doesn't look particularly good against.
Oh, that's where you're headed with this?
Yeah, and like I think if you can't knock a guy out the last three fights, he didn't knock the guy out, right? In his last five fights, he's got two wins by knockout. He lost to Kyle Nelson by Kyle Nelson just turning up the pressure and giving him more action. He lost to Spike Carlisle, who was about a foot shorter than he was. And he
Bellator legend, Spike Carlisle. Yeah.
Well, UFC legend too. He was in UFC for a hot minute.
I know.
And then he took a split decision over Nate Williams, who's not, you know, he's like just a regional guy. For me, Padilla does not look too well against somebody he can't knock out. And the thing about Paulo is he's got incredible durability and he's got a great gas tank and he pushes forward. I mean, he's pretty much like the featherweight version of Kevin Borjas, another guy who I really like out of Peru and has looked, you know, with the exception of, you know, not having the same cardio as Joshua Van, which, like, by the way, who does?
I do.
You know, Kevin Borjas looked pretty damn good too. And I think Paulo can mimic that. The pace and the beating he put on Robbie Ring was just incredible. So I think he just gets in Fernando Padilla's face and forces him into a really ugly fight.
You forgot about when you're naming all the attributes, the physical attributes. You forgot about the most important one about Paulo. He has a lion heart.
Oh, isn't that good? I mean, that's actually a fitting nickname for him versus Anthony. Well, it was fitting for Anthony Smith at one point in time in his career.
Yeah, what happened to that guy? As an aside,
hit in the head a really lot of times. He's fought like 50 times in his career.
Is that what's happening here?
Yeah, I think
does he just have a mic in front of him all the time now?
Well, and now they're putting up against guys like Vitor Petrino and stuff like that too. He feels like a sacrificial lamb every time he goes out there.
Glue factory. They're sending him off to the glue factory, apparently.
Anthony Smith's glue factory.
There's our title. It was going to be another Theo Ryalang, but Gumby comes through with another one. It's strange. Anthony Smith's glue factory. It is. It's written down. I'm not going to forget it now. Okay. I'm going to tell you about some more of our friends that are keeping us in your eyes and ears. We're brought to you by us. Oh, I'll probably have this posted in time for you to get in on our March Madness sale. I think the sale only goes till the tip off of March Madness, but the bosses are usually kind with these things and they extend it. So March Madness, 15% off everything in the merch store. That would be sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. Promo code Madness. You can get SGPN gear. You can get MMA Gambling Podcast gear. We got lots of cool gear in there. Gumby's designed a bunch of cool shirts in there, or he's helped design. He's been the brains behind it at the very least. So get in there, get some merch. Walk around looking cool like Gumby and I, because I think we've proven over 528 episodes that we're super cool guys and you want to be like us. All right. You also want to get in the SGPN subscriber only March Madness contest, assuming this gets in your ears and or eyes in time. The contest is free to enter and only open to subscribers of SGPN shows. For every SGPN show you're subscribed to, you get bonus credits used in the contest. It's bankroll style contest and winner take all. For $1,000 prize or $2,000 if you're subscribed to Sports Gambling Podcast Patreon. I think you're going to make money there. I don't think Patreon costs $1,000. So, boom. Go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/madness. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/madness. Unless you're hearing or seeing this too late, in which case, just ignore everything I just said. Cut is peer-to-peer social betting platform that's U.S.-based and available in 40 states. Peer-to-peer social betting is a new and better way to bet directly against your friends or other users in sports, politics, pop culture, and other events with verifiable outcomes, and they have tons of social features. They give it the feel of a betting social network. Cut offers lower vig and fully customizable. It's become a thing for me, that word. Odds, create your own bets. Cut handles the payment side of things, so you never have to chase anyone down for money. Social features include group chats, betting leaderboards, head-to-head history, user profiles, group fan groups, and more. And the rewards are you get your cash back every single time you bet against your friends or other users. Get on there, check out the custom bets that the SGPN crew have put on there. Download Kutt today in the App Store or over at Kutt.com. That's Kutt.com. And use promo code SGPN for 10% deposit bonus. And I give you one more thing you can get discounts from. Thanks, Das. That would be Underdog Fantasy. They are the easiest place to play fantasy sports. It's also the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. I knew I was going to say fastest eventually. It's basically a pick'em game. You pick higher or lower on stat totals for 2 to 5 players, any sport you want. And yes, there is MMA on there. And if you hit everything correctly, if you're smart, if you listen to Gumby and Chalks and you play your cards right, you can win 100 times your money in a single night. Sign up today with promo code MMA SGPN and get your first deposit, double it up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special. Visit underdog.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our promo code MMA SGPN to get your first deposit, double it up to $100, as well as an instant pick'em special. You must be 18 or older and present in the state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-522-4700 or ncpgambling.org is where you can visit. All right, drink time again. Same water from yesterday somehow, Gumby. Same cup, same glass of water. I've been milking it since yesterday's episode. Still. All right. What are we going to now, Gumby? I should be more excited about that. Where are we off to now? We're going to stick with the featherweight class. Billy Quarantillo, Yusuf Zalal. It's actually a pretty good fight. I shouldn't be down on this one. So we got America versus Morocco. The Moroccan fighter would be Zalal. He's making his UFC return here. He's the Moroccan devil, if that doesn't give away where he's from. He is 13-5-1, 4 knockouts, 6 submissions, so he's pretty deadly. He's never been finished himself, so Yanni is picking him to get finished here for sure. This is short-notice re-debut. Not a short-notice debut, but a re-debut. He went 3-3-1 in the UFC his first go-around. Since then, he's won 3 straight fights, all via finish, so that will get you an invite back to the big dance. He's not lost since June of 2021. He's fight down at bantamweight, up at lightweight. 2 inches of reach on Quarantillo, 8 years younger. He outstruck his UFC opponents by 1 strike per minute, so striking wasn't really the issue. His first go-around, he's at plus 120. Billy Quarantillo, you can call him Billy Q. That's not an official name. I'm just calling him that. He's 18-5, 8 knockouts, 5 submissions. He's been knocked out twice. He's a pretty durable dude as well. 6-3 in the UFC. Loss, win, loss, win, loss, win over his last 6. 1-0 in Contender Series, 1-1 in The Ultimate Fighter. Multiple regional championships on his
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. Madness is your code. Used to fight at lightweight, 2013 pro MMA debut, 1-0 pro boxer, almost 3 times more active landing strikes than Zalal is. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 2.10 strikes per minute. He's at minus 130. All right, Gumby, go ahead.
You know, if this wasn't such a short notice fight for Yusuf Zalal, I might give him a little bit more of a chance here.
Yep.
Because he has shown like he's got like a little bit of grappling in here, and he is a Factory X guy. And I feel like if he had gone through with a full fight camp to get ready for Billy Quarantillo, he might just be the guy. But because he's not, I'm going to lean with Billy Quarantillo here. I know that Billy Quarantillo dealt with the wrestling of Damon Jackson enough in his last fight. And granted, like he got taken down sometimes, but he like most for the most part popped right back up and looked all right doing so. So the fact that Billy Q sort of dealt with that kind of grappling, I think he's good enough to deal with Zalal, especially short notice Zalal. I think he's going to be a little faster, a little sharper on the feet. So yeah, I'm going to take Billy Q here.
As am I. You got to fade these short notice guys, Sally. So
you didn't fade Billy the other one.
I know it's true. It's true. But I think the Quarantillo is a better fighter too. So there you go. Gumby has taken, he faded both short notice people. Wow. You're paying attention finally. Are you? Good job.
Just right, in here time we go, for Gumby. You to give up.
Just in time for me to give up on the stat. It's true. Here we go. The big fight, the people's main event. Should be good. It should be a good fight. Good fight with lots of fouls. Bantamweights, 3 to 5 minute rounds. Peyton Talbot, Cameron Simon. USA versus South Africa. I already forget. Remember we figured out what MSP means in South African. Do you remember what I told you it meant? Because I don't remember.
Somebody I think told us and then we forgot.
Yeah.
Shout out again, same person.
Exactly. Who told us? All right. Simon, 9-1, 6 knockouts, 1 submission. He's never been finished in a fight. 3-1 in the UFC. He did lose his last fight. Who do you lose to, Gumby?
C-Rod, right?
C-Rod is true. Yes. It can't, so it's kind of aged pretty good. Christian Rodriguez, won no contender series, was regional champion, 2 years younger than Talbot, better grappling stats than Talbot. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by and contender series opponents by 2.04 strikes per minute. He's at plus 125. Talbot 7-0, 5 knockouts, 1 submission. He's 1-0 in the UFC. Won his that fight by submission. 1-0 in contender series. Was regional champion. 2 inches height, 3 inches of reach over Simon. Better striking stats. He's more active landing strikes. He's outstruck his contender series and UFC opponents by 3.54 strikes per minute. Minus 145. Is it me? It is me. Oh, boy. I'm taking Talbot. Sorry to disappoint you, Gumby. I'm impressed with Peyton doesn't Talbot. And he's
none.
You try to bully me into liking Cameron Simon, but no.
I did literally the opposite of that. I literally
you're trying to talk me out of it.
You to confront the idea that you keep talking about him like he's good.
No.
Despite the fact his results are good.
Yes.
And his performances are not the same thing.
Maybe it's catching up to him though, because his results were not good last fight, and Talbot's impressive. He's been very impressive. So,
and I think this is the same kind of matchup. Granted, probably a step behind C-Rod, but the question here is obviously, can Simon hold down Peyton Talbot long enough to win some kind of decision? Because I don't think anybody's under the assumption that Cameron Simon can outstrike him. Like, this was a pick'em like 3 days ago, and now the money is all coming on Talbot. He's up to being a, what'd you say, negative 145 favorite.
Yeah.
You know, if you're getting in on him now, you kind of miss the horse on this one. And I think negative 145 is probably a more correct line. Like, I think Talbot has that much of an advantage when it comes to striking. And we saw some really great scrambling out of him, right? He did that weird flip to get out of a takedown. That guy grabbed his leg and he did a backflip and then just was not in a takedown anymore. And Cameron Simon is like had a little bit of trouble dealing with people who scramble well, right? And that is ultimately what cost him against C-Rod. I think Peyton Talbot is going to do enough scrambling to get back to his feet. And when he's on the feet, he should just pepper Simon. This would not surprise me if this is one of those fights where, there's a lot of control time or plenty of control time for Simon, and it just doesn't matter. And the judges know that Talbot's doing all the damage.
What if Simon cheats really, really hard?
He could kick him in the balls 7 times and get then Herb will probably come with the hardest.
This is a firm warning.
The double secret ultra final probation warning. Yeah.
It's true. All right. You're not disappointed? You're happy I'm off the Simon train?
Yes.
Well, it depends who he's fighting.
I've literally tried to get you to jump off that train since he entered the UFC. And you're like, I don't know. He's much better.
I went 3-1 picking him, didn't I? Went 3-1 picking him. So I did all right on that train. But yeah,
I'm pretty sure I went 1-3 picking against. No, yeah. I did pick him against the dude from Alaska. I'm not going to remember his name.
Terrence Mitchell. Not Jared Cannonier.
He fought Terrence Mitchell. He fought Terrence Mitchell, right?
You don't like my joke? Him fighting Jared Cannonier would be amazing. Fight
Jared Cannonier. Did you know Jared Cannonier's 40?
Yeah, but he's got those crystals. That's why he doesn't look 40.
It's fair. Fair.
It's true. It's
Jared true. Cannonier's crystals, or would you rather have Anthony Smith's glue factory?
The glue factory is a better line. So okay. I would rather have neither of them, to tell you the truth. One thing I would like to have is Game Time app, which I do have. It's not hard to get. Anyone can get it, and they should, because Game Time is the place for last minute ticket deals. I'm on there all the time checking out deals for stuff, because they got everything there. You can get plenty of months in advance. Game Time has deals and tickets right up to the day of the event. Get exclusive. That's not a word. Exclusive is, though. Exclusive flash deals on tickets for football, basketball, baseball, concerts, comedy, theater, MMA, and more. The Game Time guarantee means you always get the best price. Find tickets in the same section and row for less. Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. By my math, that means you make 10%. So that's pretty dang good. Snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code CFBX for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account. Redeem code CFBX for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. All right. Let's get some more guaranteed winners here, shall we? We're going up to middleweights. Edmund Shahbazyan. I don't want the pop-up ad to come up here. Let's get rid of that. Edmund Shahbazyan versus AJ Dobson. 3 500 rounds at middleweight, like I said. Dobson, 7-2 with 1 no contest, 2 knockouts, 3 submissions. He's kind of taking this a short notice, not official by my records because he's gotten more than a month notice, but it's going to be a shortened fight camp. We'll say that. Did I say Dobson's never been finished? It's true. Time for him to get finished. 1-2 in the UFC, 1-2 over his last three. He did win his last fight, though. Probably saved his UFC career with that. 1-0 in contender series, used to fight at, welterweight, an inch of reach on Shahbazyan. More active landing strikes than him. He's been outstruck in the UFC and contender series by 0.87 strikes per minute. He's at plus 170. Shahbazyan, the golden boy. He's still going with that nickname. Going until the wheels fall off. 12-4 in the UFC, 10 knockouts, one submission. He's been knocked out three times, 5-4 in the UFC, 1-4 over his last five. Got TKO'd in his last fight. 1-0 in contender series, an inch of height, 5 years younger than Dobson. He's been outstruck in the UFC by 0.67 strikes per minute, minus 190. Mr. Gumby.
I don't really love this line. In fact, it might be one of my least favorite lines in the whole thing, but I still got to go with Edmund Shahbazyan. I know that he's won one of his last five fights.
Yeah.
But like when you look at that resume, man, it is just like, you know, like, can you fault him for losing to Nassourdin Imavov or Anthony Hernandez or Derek Brunson or what was the other one? Jack Hermanson.
Yep.
Yeah. That's like a hell of a run there. And like, he's competitive in a lot of those fights too, especially the Anthony Hernandez one, which it turns out aged incredibly well because Hernandez looked like a world beater against Khabibov. So, you know, I kind of am of the belief that Edmund Shahbazyan, we said when he went up to Extreme Couture, he kind of changed himself around that fight with now he's the one who fought Dachi Lugianbula, right?
And yes.
Dodson's the one who fought Tefan Chukwi. Because they muscly middleweights, and I kind of get him. Yeah, okay. So he's the one who beat Dalcha. And so, like, that fight, it was like, oh, okay, this is old Edmund Shahbazyan. This is prospect Edmund Shahbazyan again. And then when he fought, Hernandez, I think a lot of people were like, oh, maybe he's not as good. And I think it's just like, oh, it was a tough
step up, man.
Yeah, and AJ Dobson is a colossal step down from where Anthony Hernandez is. So I think Shahbazyan we see with like a little bit better of a blend of striking, you know, certainly staying away from the wrestling of Dobson and probably putting it on him here. So yeah, I'll take Shahbazyan. Not crazy about the negative 190 because this is a complete, you know, like, we haven't seen him against somebody who's like a middling middleweight, right? We've seen him against Dalcha Lugianbula, who's not with the company anymore, or a guy who's legitimately probably a top 10 middleweight. Those are the two different things we've seen him against in the last 5 years.
Yep. It be true. I'm taking him as well. Yeah. I don't think I said that, but yes, Shahbazyan is the pick, but as you said, the number, you don't really want to lay that much on the Edmund Shahbazyan fight at this point. So let's go to the co-main event. As Gumby said, fight cards are defined by the co-main event. Carl Williams versus Justin Toffa. I keep bringing that up. It's funny. It's funny in this card, and pretty much it's true as well. 3 5-minute rounds at 265 pounds, assuming Toffa gets down to 265. Tell you about Toffa first. He's Batman. Does his brother have a nickname? I can't remember. Junior? Does he have a nickname?
Yeah, Junior Toffa. The Junior is, I'm pretty sure, a nickname.
Yeah, you're probably right. All right, this Toffa is 7-3 with 1 no contest, 7 knockouts. He's been knocked out once. 4-3 with 1 no contest in the UFC. 3-0 with 1 no contest over his last four. He got a knockout in his last fight. He's taking this to short notice for his brother. His brother took a fight about a month or so ago on short notice on his behalf. He's missed weight. He missed weight at heavyweight. It be true. Regional champion. He's been outstruck in the UFC by 0.8 strikes per minute, but it doesn't matter when you hit like he hits. 25 pounds heavier than Williams based on their last weigh-ins. He's 3 years younger. Don't need to weigh in for that. More active landing strikes than Williams, plus 160. Williams, 9-1 with 3 knockouts. He's been submitted one time. 2-0 in the UFC, 1-0 on the contender series. 6 straight wins for him. He's not lost since December 2021. Used to fight at light heavyweight. 0-1 in PFL, 3 inches of height, 5 inches of reach over Toffa. Better grappling stats than Toffa, and he's outstruck his UFC opponents by 1.13 strikes per minute, minus 190. Going against the stats again. Toffa is the pick. I don't care if it's short notice. He's a better fighter than Carl Williams, and maybe he's not a better fighter. He's way more dangerous than Carl Williams. Carl Williams isn't very good either, which helps. Batman's getting the win here.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Toffa too. I think the biggest piece for me in picking Toffa is just like I've said this before, Carl Williams really is a light heavyweight. I don't know why they insist on keep sticking guys who seem like they could make light heavyweight and could get themselves into a little bit better shape and make it down to light heavyweight. They insist on like forcing them up to heavyweight to like fill out these divisions. Cause really, like I said it about Jelton Almeida. Jelton Almeida, while he might be good enough to be heavyweight champ, could also probably be light heavyweight champ. And then they're like forcing Jamal Pogues up and they're forcing Carl Williams up. And like a lot of these guys should just like, you know, hit the training regimen hard and get down to 205. Cause I really think that that's where they would flourish. Cause Carl Williams, I mean, let's face it, most of his good fights or most of the fights he's won, I guess none of them particularly looked all that good. Nope. Were like, you know, him dragging down Lucas Brezhki like 100 times and just like putting him into deep water with like takedown after takedown after takedown after takedown. And like when he starts to fight these guys like Justin Taffa, I think he's going to have trouble with that. Now, Junior Taffa obviously has trouble with the takedowns. We saw it in his last fight. Justin is a touch better, which I think probably is the calculus of this fight that you have to decide. Like, is Justin Taffa enough better than his brother in terms of defending takedowns? I also think he's just like a little bit more nuanced in the feet. Also, I'm being told by the intern, Junior Taffa is his first name. He also goes by the Juggernaut. Junior's a weird name.
Oh, right. Yeah, we talked about the Juggernaut. That's right.
Yeah, the Juggernaut.
No, so, we talked about a different Juggernaut. That was a gal we were talking about who's on the regional scene, the Juggernaut as well. But yes.
Are you thinking of the Sluggernaut?
Oh, no. I thought we had a Juggernaut. We talked about the Sluggernaut, too. I know we did talk about the Sluggernaut as well. All right. I think I still have it here. The Juggernaut is... someone named, Austin, who's fighting Wojcik on Octagon.
Oh, Jacinta Austin. Yeah.
Yes.
I forgot she was the Juggernaut. That's a weird one.
Yes.
Don't forget. Anyway, Justin Taffa knocks out Carl Williams. There you go.
Ooh, there you go. There's your prop.
Yeah. I mean, do you want Justin Taffa in a three-round decision?
Yeah. Justin Taffa via decision. It's true. All right. Should we get to the main event? We should. It is women's flyweight. Right when I was saying I'm glad Amanda Hibas is back at strawweight, she's back to flyweight again here. Amanda Hibas versus Rose Namajunas. Five-minute rounds, women's flyweight. Hibas is ranked higher, I guess, because her name's coming first here, surprisingly. She's not ranked higher on the board, though. She's 13-4. Hibas is 4 knockouts, 4 submissions. She's been knocked out 3 times. 7-3 in the UFC, loss, win over her last 6. She won her last fight via TKO. Used to fight at strawweight. Multiple regional championships on her
mantle.
Correct. Get the shirt at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. 2014 Pro MMA debut, an inch of reach over Namajunas, a year younger, plus 200. It's come down a bit. It was a bit higher before. It's more like plus 250 range. Thug Rose Namajunas, 11-6, 2 knockouts, 5 submissions, knocked out once, submitted once, 9-5 in the UFC. She's lost 2 straight. Before that, she won 3 straight. She's not won since November 2021. Used to fight at strawweight, was a champion 2 times at that weight class. 3-0 in the Ultimate Fighter, won her season. That's what won her. No, she didn't win her season. She lost to Esparza. 2013 Pro MMA debut for Namajunas, 0-1 as a pro grappler, 2 inches taller than Hibas. Minus 210. Finally, Namajunas is fighting someone who is younger than her. Rose has finally grown up. All right, you get to finish things off.
I'm going to take Rose Namajunas. I'm glad that number came down a little bit on her. Again, maybe... No, I don't know. I think now that it's at negative 210, I think I am fine with that number. Because here's the bottom line here, is that Amanda Hibas has kind of shown that when somebody can stay out of her close proximity in fighter at range, they really can do a number on her, right? Like, I'm thinking back to the Marina Rodriguez fight, right? Marina Rodriguez just absolutely torched her on the feet. And like, Rose Namajunas, when she's at her best, is that version of herself. And then like, best case scenario, we're talking about Amanda Hibas, if you are a Amanda Hibas fan, is like, she's gonna bull rush her and get her into a whole bunch of clinches and stuff like that and try to drag her to the ground. And Rose Namajunas just happens to have moved this camp to fighting with Greg Nelson up in, what is it? I can't remember the name. Minnesota Combat Sports.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, he's Brock Lesnar's old coach. He's John Castaneda's coach. And like, so she just happened to move camp up to a place where it's going to like help her with the wrestling. And while I know she didn't look, you know, she didn't look like a world beater. She didn't look like a potential champion at flyweight against Manon Fiorot. She didn't hold her own with Manon Fiorot on the feet. Right, like almost entirely in a fight on the feet, it was like a back and forth fight. And I think that alone should make you say, like, she's still really got striking chops. And I don't know that Hibas can get inside, and I don't know that she can bully her up at featherweight, because I'm sure Rose is doing a better job at like bulking up, and because Rose is just committed to moving up at this point, right? Like, she's not
going back. Yeah, I saw a headline saying she's not going back. Yeah.
Yeah, and Hibas seems like she's like kind of on this fin. So like maybe she's not bulking up, or maybe she's not hitting a nutritionist to gain that weight. So for me, the commitment to 125, and Rose is probably doing it right, getting a little bit bigger, working with a coach that's good with wrestling so that she can implement her striking more at this weight class. I just think those all spell disaster for a Hibas. So I'm going to take Rose Namajunas here.
Despite all that, I'm taking Hibas. I like the line in her. I like getting two times the money. I don't trust Rose Namajunas at this point, but like you said, new fight camp could change things for her. I don't know. I might just be picking it because I like Hibas as a fighter, but I'll be honest with it by saying that, but I'll take Hibas here and hope she doesn't get bullied, and hope the bad Rose shows up, because you never know what Rose you're going to get, which is another thing. I don't want to lay -210 or whatever on Rose Namajunas, because you never know. She might decide she's not going to fight this fight and think she's doing good and think she's getting points for playing defense.
That's definitely possible. Can I ask you a favor? If you're going to pick Amanda Hibas, can you at least give us your best hello?
Hello. I haven't heard it for a while. Did you still do that?
I don't know, but that's the only thing I think of when I see her face. Yep. It's like that plays on repeat in my ear.
It's true. All right, let's repeat our picks, shall we? Hibas, Namajunas. I have Hibas, he has Namajunas. We both have Tafa. We both have Shabazian, after I put your name down, or Shabazian. We both have Talbot. Obviously, Dan is not taking Simon. Both have Quarantillo. I have Padilla, he has Pahulo. So we started and ended with a different pick. So there you go. All right, before, don't go away yet, people. Not just for the ad reads, but we have more picks after those as well. I'm going to talk about Champs. Champs is hosting a free March Madness bracket contest for a chance to win $100. $1,000. $100 would be all right, but $1,000, even better. Plus, if you host your own March Madness pool on Champs, you get an extra entry fee, extra free entry. That's better. I skipped the free part. Extra free entry into the bracket contest. Tiebreakers are determined by who enters first, so make sure to register now so you don't miss out. Head to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/champs. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/champs. And we are brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets. You can win bigger by betting smarter this NBA season with Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting analytics platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Research every NBA and soccer bet with historical stats and data. Enter any parlay idea into Hall of Fame Bet's revolutionary parlay optimizer tool to get hit rates broken down by leg, as well as an expected probability for the entire parlay. Sort all players by hit rate for any bet to learn which players are hot and which picks have value. Stop betting in the dark and join over 30,000 users researching with Hall of Fame Bets to craft more intelligent, data-driven parlays. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit hofbets.com and use code SGPN to get 50% off your first month today. Start researching, start winning with Hall of Fame Bets. Okay, this is the part of the show where we do locks, dogs, parlays, and props. Not in that exact order. Gumby, I think it's your turn to kick things off this week.
I'm going to take Zeleznikova. Negative 200 is my lock. I told you I think she's a good prospect. I've got some issues with her opponent, and I think Zeleznikova, man, I've been burnt by a lot of like debuting women in the lock spot, but I'm ready to be hurt anyway. I'm ready to be hurt again.
All right, what do I want? I'll try to get a nicer line here.
I mean, they're all pretty nice. There's not really a bad line out there.
No, there's really not. Quarantillo -130 against Yusuf Zolal. You know why if you listen to this episode. So there you go.
I'm going to take Pahuelo as my dog here. Okay. I think Pahuelo, I like the pressure. I like the overwhelm here against Padilla.
Tafa, Badman Tafa would be my underdog pick against Carl Williams, because Carl Williams isn't good.
I'm gonna take Justin Tafa via KO as my prop, because while I already like the money line at, what did you say, 160, I'm seeing the knockout prop at 210.
It's not a 250. How would you like that instead?
Ooh, yeah, give me that one instead. All right, I'll take that instead. Yeah, Tafa 250 KO. You're shopping
240. Sorry, 240.
Okay, you're that's all right. You're shopping in better places than me.
I am. Give me Bayesian via knockout. I was thinking about Tafas, but I'll spread it out a bit. I'll have Tafa as my dog, but if he's gonna win via knockout. So Gummy's pick is a fine pick. I think Shabazian is gonna knock out AJ Dobson +155 for that. All right, so Zeleznikova and Quarantillo are our locks. Pajulo is not my dog, but it's Gumby's dog. And Tafa are our dogs. Tafa knockout, Shabazi knockout are our props. All right. Hunger Mahjong, super fan parlay, two fight parlay. Going to win us money. Big money. Go ahead.
So I'm going to get more finishes in here because, you know, our props for finishes this week. I think this is a big finish card. I'm going to take Zalesnyakova again. I'm going to take her inside the distance because the difference between her KO prop and her sub prop, or a KO prop and her inside the distance prop, is basically negligible, mostly because she hasn't gotten very many submissions. So I'd rather, you know, in case she decides to sneak a rear naked choke in here or something when somebody gets tired. There's no, I think I saw the difference. One was 230, one was like 245 or something like that. Like, so I might as well take the 230 on her inside the distance instead. So I'm going to take the 230 on Zalesnikova inside the distance. I'm going to pair it with Kurt Hollebaugh by KO. Kurt Hollebaugh has been putting in the work standing up. I think he overwhelms Trey Ogden here with the work on the feet. Plus 450 on him by the KO. So if you get him 450, you get Zalesnikova inside the distance plus 230. Put them together, you're going to get plus 1715.
1715, that's a nice one. All right. There. Now you've heard everything you need to know. Anthony Smith's Glue Factory is closing for the day. You have to leave. It's closing time. You can't hang around. Our after hours club is the Discord. So make sure you go there to the Speakeasy Discord, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Discord. We shall be in there. Twitter, Gumby runs our account there for us. SGPN MMA. He's at Gumby Vreeland. I'm at Jeff Fox Writer. Same thing on Instagram. Get in my Substack, get on my MMA writing there, enter my pick'em contests, all that good stuff. MoneyMMA.substack.com. I need a drink, so I'll let Gumby tell you all about his other podcast, Top Turtle. Go ahead.
Yeah, we're interviewing Lupita Godinez and Angel Pacheco this week, as well as talking about some of these fights that you just heard me talk gratuitously about.
Yep, and our website, of course, sportsgamblingpodcast.com, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. Madness, I'm pretty sure the code should still be working for you whenever you hear and see this. And sportsgamblingpodcast.com/Patreon. We'll be back on Sunday to count our money. We're actually going to take a couple of days off now. Sorry. I know you people want us every day. Maybe someday we'll get to that point. But as of now, we need to rest. All right, Gumby, go ahead.
All right. I'm Dana Gumby Vreeland. He's Thug Jeff Fox. And we will see you on Sunday.